Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the Cookbook Circle podcast. I'm Hannah.
And I'm Victoria.
We're two friends with a shared love of food, cooking, and all things cookbooks.
We are now in the third season of this podcast. Ooh. And this one is all about, well, not really anything in particular. We are themeless. So you can expect deep dives on certain dishes, reviews of cookbooks, of course, but there'll be new cookbooks, old cookbooks, all sorts of cookbooks. And of course, we'll be asking you, our lovely listeners, for some input on episodes that we're going to do.
It's going to be so
fun. It's going to be so fun.
Fun. And if you love what we do, we're also on Patreon. This means if you'd like to support us, your subscription will help to cover the podcast's costs, from the books themselves to the ingredients for what we cook. And in return, you'll get some fun stuff like bonus mini-sodes. To find out more, visit our website, thecookbookcircle.com, or you can find the link in our show notes. Thanks, friends. Now, let's get to the fun part. Hi, Victoria.
How are you?
I'm caffeinated. I'm regulated.
Caffeination.
I don't know what regulation means.
Are you regular?
I'm extra large. How you been doing?
Yeah, good. Weather update from my summer, in case anyone was wondering.
They were.
Shit. It's been shit weather. Here in the United Kingdom. Well, at least in England. It might be nice in other places.
It does impact what you eat as well, right? Like, you're not as inspired to have the nice, like, summery food when the weather's a bit shite.
Right?
Yeah.
It sucks. Also, shout out to fan and previous, you know, big time mentioned person on this pod, my friend Clara.
Oh yeah, hello Clara,
who got married a couple of weeks ago.
Congratulations, Clara!
Woo! And it was the day that it was, if you were in the city, like, big storm, big rain. But then in the evening, it was absolutely beautiful. But they had absolutely great food.
Ooh.
But the same thing, like, they'd ordered like salads and cold food.
Yeah,
but it was you know, because it was a bit wet. But it was absolutely beautiful, and it was all like, they got married down here in the southwest of England, and all the food was like local to that. It was great, and they had like local beers on tap all day. It was great.
That sounds great.
Congratulations to Clara and Andy.
Write in if you'd like us to wish you congratulations on your personal moment in the next episode. We now take requests. Did you ever do that as a kid, like, write into the local radio station or like text?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah,
I also, like, I don't know if you have this in Ireland, but on like
probably not.
On like CBeebies or whatever, you could like send in, like you could make a birthday card for yourself and you send it in and they would like show them and read them out. Like these big, like elaborate, and like I did that.
Oh, did you? Did it get on air?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I feel like all, I have two brothers and I like, but yeah, all of us got, you know, you have a little, like a little flap and you'd open it up and there'd be a picture of you. Oh. And it'd be like, happy sixth birthday, Victoria.
Oh, famous even at such a young age.
Exactly. I was born to be on stage.
On air.
I've got a face for the radio.
My dog has just done a really feral fart.
What has he been eating? So I feel like every time
it's gotten worse.
I speak to you recently.
Sorry, it was a slow burner. It's like literally burning the hairs from my nostrils. I don't know what he's eating the same food. We used to text into the local radio station, but you'd like text in about couples when you were like a teenager and be like during the like romantic hour or whatever on like Midwest radio, and you were like, this is for Victoria and Stephen, and you'd like try and like hang your friends or try and like put them with like the worst boy in the class or something.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, it's great. It's a wild time.
Who was the worst boy in the class?
Oh, there were too many to count. They were honestly all brutal. None of them listen now, I can guarantee you. Anyway, as usual, we digress. We're having a fun. Everyone has to have fun, okay? It's a fun.
We're so fun. If there's anything you need to know about us, we're like the most fun people, but mostly today.
We are
usually funny. We're very serious.
You say this like sarcastically, but we are really fun. We were at that wedding recently and we think Becca can confirm we think we were the most fun.
a different wedding. Shout out to Becca and Charlie, congratulations.
Even though you didn't write in, you can have that one for free, guys.
Congratulations on your new home.
We were very fun at that wedding as well. You can hire us.
We were fun. We put a picture on our Instagram of us at that wedding. We were
in red and
red
pink.
I was in my Barbie jumpsuit.
Oh, he looked so good.
And I hadn't really seen Barbie until that. No, before that.
What, you just dipped out of the wedding for a couple
until
of hours?
Until that. I saw it.
Yeah. That's where you went.
It was so fun. Like, I popped down to the cinema. No, I saw it afterwards and there is a scene in it where they're wearing like pink jumpsuits. And I was like, oh my God.
It was a great jumpsuit. Yeah, it was a great wedding. Anyway, back to being fun. So we put a shout out on it. We wanted to do something a bit silly for this episode because, yeah, it feels like it's like summer. A lot of people are away. I don't know what else to add to that reasoning. But anyway, you all had some really great suggestions about what we should cover. But the one that we really liked was from long time listener, fan, North Orbit.
First time caller.
We've talked to her loads. North Orbit, Lisa Smith. That's not her full name. Should we just say Lisa Smith?
It sounds like a motorway in North Orbit.
I don't want her to get like, you know, well, maybe she wants loads of followers on Instagram. Anyway, she said, trying to make dishes from your favourite TV shows or movies. Well, we didn't just try, Lisa. We did.
Well, we'll see.
Which is just such a fun idea. And immediately brought lots of ideas to mind. None of which turned out to be actually operationally like doable.
Yeah, when we decided that we do this, my brain went completely blank and I'd never seen a movie or a TV show in my life. So I had
we
to
know
start
you
from
love
scratch.
Succession. Is there any like iconic? Are there any iconic food moments in Succession?
Well, no. Mm. This is the point. Well, I did think about making the martini. You know, the Roman Jerry.
Oh, yes.
Martini, and then I don't want to put any spoilers out there, but there's in the last episode they make that smoothie thing, right, with the meal fit for a king.
Yeah,
so obviously I wasn't gonna make that. Yeah. It's disgusting. And then I was looking at Succession, and I was like, oh, what could I make? And there's that episode in season 2, I think, where, you know, they go to their house in like the Hamptons, and there's like dead raccoons in the chimney, and they have to throw away all that beautiful seafood, and they just order pizza. Right.
Oh my God, I'd forgotten that. Yeah, not quite a recipe.
But otherwise, they don't really, you know, they're all a bit fancy because they're very wealthy.
Yeah, they strike me as the kind of people who wouldn't even care about food, right? Like, they're so rich that they just, like, don't care about food.
You know, there's obviously that, you know, that ongoing joke kind of thing about the Shiv and Tom, like, buy a vineyard, don't they? And the wine tastes like soil or whatever when they serve it. So, anyway, Succession was off the cards, unfortunately, but I do love Succession. Let the record be known.
Let the record be known. The the first thing that came to my mind was the film that I've talked about before, Big Night, with Stanley Tucci, and the big timpano thing that they make, which New York Times Cooking has a recipe for, like, inspired by Big Night. But it's such a faff and it's so meaty. I could have gotten bored with the faffiness, but it's just entirely meat. And I was like, you know, maybe, you could cornify it or something. But it's like multiple types of meat. Like, it's like a ragu and it's like meatballs or something. And I was like, there's just...
Imagine all that corn. I feel like you would just, your insides would be gone.
I'm like, who's gonna eat it? Like, I'm not having like a big night party. Like, it's just, it would just be me eating it, you know, in leftovers for months. But you like wrap it up in dough. So there's salami, 12 hard cooked eggs, 4 cups of small meatballs, 7.5 cups of Tucci ragu sauce, meat removed.
What do you do with the meat? Put the meat back in, right?
No, it says meat removed and reserved for another use. What other uses?
Oh, so you just make a giant ragu?
What other uses do you have for meat?
I don't know, sloppy joes or... I don't know, sloppy joes, like I've ever eaten or made a sloppy joe. That's just something I love from TV.
I'm so much American food, like I don't fully know what it is. And that was off the table because it was too meaty, which is kind of the general theme across the board for all of the thoughts that I had. Mm. All of every thought in my head ended up being too meaty. Yeah.
It's meaty. What's your favourite film of all time?
Oh, great question, because this is one of my... This was one of the contenders. It's Amelie, the French film.
Oh, nice.
Which I feel is very kind of like basic bitch of me. Like, you would have that on your Bebo social media profile when you're in uni to look like you're a cultured like individual. I do adore that film.
But you are a cultured individual, so.
Yeah. Yes. So cultured. yes. Favourite TV show is like Married at First Sight Australia. There's not much food in that either. In Amelie, she does make like this plum cake thing at the end for her love. And I did look up that recipe, but it wasn't. And also, there's this lovely moment in Amelie where he's this guy walking down, like, I think it's Rue Mouffetard or somewhere in Paris. And he buys like one of the roast chickens off the kind of, you know,
rotisserie
thing. Yeah, rotisserie, rotating thing.
That's a translation, that
French,
I think.
Yeah, and he makes the chicken look so good because it brings back memories of him of eating it with like his mum or his grandmum or something. I also think like a roast chicken is like a very nostalgic thing.
Yeah, it's
thing.
The best thing.
But yeah, I didn't do the plum cake from Amelie because it felt like. It was, not iconic enough, not like well known enough.
Yeah.
What's your favourite movie?
Oh, I'm excited to hear what you did do. Oh. My favourite movie is 500 Days of Summer.
Oh, is it? Great soundtrack.
It is, yeah. It used to be Forrest Gump.
Oh, wow.
Which obviously there's a few like foodie things in there, but like nothing, obviously chocolates. Am I going to make a box of chocolates? Probably not. And like the shrimp thing, yes. You know, like Baba's shrimp. Yeah. But I was just like, has it all been done to death? I love Forrest Gump, but 500 Days of Summer is my favorite movie. But there is like no, this is a common theme. This is how I like started out. It's like, what are my favorite like movies and TV shows ever?
Yeah.
And 500 Days of Summer has no food in it apart from the one time where they break up eating pancakes, you know? Like, she's sad in the record store and he's like, let's go and eat pancakes. And then she's like, you're still my best friend.
Oh, that movie kills me. It's sad.
I love
it. It's great.
I love it. So it is sad.
She got engaged recently, Zooey Deschanel.
Yes, I saw that. Yeah, it's good for her. She's very...
Congratulations, pretty. Zooey and partner. Don't know his name. But other man.
Because my favourite TV show, or the TV show that I have stayed with, you know, obviously it's Succession, yeah. It's the best show of all time. But my, you know, my low-key favourite one is Grey's Anatomy, right? Like, that's my babe. Like, I don't miss an episode of that.
Surely someone's, like, some niche case has come into Grey's Anatomy where they got, like, I don't know, a pea stuck up their nose or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's usually bigger than that, like, you know, a bomb in their chest. But, you know, yes, maybe there's a pee in there. Yeah, but there's just, they don't really eat, right? Unless they eat it. Like, there's a storyline early on where Izzy, who's, she bakes because she's stressed.
Yes.
And, but really there's no, like, my favourite episode of Grey's Anatomy is one called Holidays.
Right.
Spelled D-A-Z-E. Right. And that's like a Thanksgiving Christmas one. So there is a few, like, but then it's still not like, no one cares. Like, no one knows what's actually being served, right? So it's not.
Yeah.
It's hard.
I had a lot of Friends ones. So Friends, I love. I think about a lot. And I don't know. I know people hate on it, but I think it's, an excellent TV show of its time. But, and there were a couple of things from that I thought about. First of all, the cheesecake that Rachel and Chandler eat from the floor, which I was texting you about. Because right after we had decided on this theme for this episode, I went on Instagram and someone, just one of the people I follow, had like just randomly posted like what they thought that cheesecake might be like. It's the one that's like from Mama's Little Bakery. But all you know about it is that it has like a really like light crumb or something. There's no other defining features. And I just thought, well, you're just going to end up making a vanilla cheesecake and kind of, I don't know, I just wasn't blown away by the idea. But there were also like Ross's moist maker sandwich that he gets fired about.
That came up a lot when I was like Googling.
Really?
Yeah. And then that Rachel's trifle as well, right? I feel like there's a lot of recipes for that.
Beef sautéed with peas and onions. There's just so many. That moist maker sandwich just absolutely gives me the gack. Like a piece of bread soaked in gravy, but then it's like cold in the middle of your sandwich. I just can't really get on board.
Yeah.
When I was Googling loads of them, I didn't actually know some of the references because I haven't seen Godfather. There's a tomato sauce in there apparently that's like...
Oh, well, I texted Hannah about this because one of my like maybes, I love the film Goodfellas. Yes. I think it's better than The Godfather. Don't come for me. It's just great. And I remember I have it probably on DVD somewhere, but I had it. And like, it's so long that you have to like flip the DVD over to watch the second half of it. But there's a few things in that, you know, the famously, like there's a prison source that they talk about, like they're, you know, the mob is in prison and they're making this prison sauce and he famously like slices the garlic with a razor.
Oh,
like really thin. And makes it and then there's like there's just a lot of like cooking in it because it's set like these like Italian obviously Italian-American families and they're making like sausages and peppers, which I thought I was gonna make because I thought that's fun, like just literally like in a pan like cooked sausages and peppers. Like that sounds great. I love Goodfellas and that was on my list, but I didn't in the end.
Any of those kind of Italian-American things always have good food. Like, I feel like The Sopranos, she always had this, like, ziti that was a thing that she would bring to people's houses. That's good dishes. Have you seen Once Upon a Time in America? There's, like, a There's like some dish in that that's like, it's, I think it's called a Charlotte Russe, and it's like a creamy cake thing. I haven't seen it, but apparently it's like pretty iconic. Also thought about the Bruce Bogtrotter cake from Matilda.
Yes. Yes, I thought about that as well.
But it's so gross, that scene, right? Like, it makes you never want to eat chocolate cake again. So it's like not really the nicest connotations.
Isn't that, I think there's a place in London that does like that cake. You can get like a slice of that cake delivered, like they've made it, and you, it, yeah, but it, yeah, it's the same. Like I don't want it. Like, it doesn't look great. No. But there is some great, like when I was a kid, I had a Roald Dahl cookbook.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. And it was amazing. That's, and I think, fun. I had two. I think I had one that was like recipes from Roald Dahl. And then I had a specific, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory one that had like ones to make. It smelt like chocolate. Like, that was because it's magical. But yeah, I remember there was like, because I loved all that. And we, with school, we would go and like see them like in the theater. Like, I remember seeing James and the Giant Peach or like George's Marvelous Medicine in the theater and stuff. But yeah, I remember there was this one recipe for like Mr. You could make Mr. Twit's face with like chips were his beard and like, you know, the stuff like in it, and then you would make his, it was great. I should buy that. I'm sure you can still buy it. Like, it had all of that, all of that good stuff from Roald Dahl books.
Oh, I love Roald Dahl so much. The other ones that I thought about were obviously Ratatouille.
Yeah.
That was actually a really close contender, but I feel like I think I've made a Ratatouille before on the pod, and then I think I obviously, I mean, one of my favourite moments of this entire podcast was in our third episode when I mistook that, when I said that I fancied the guy from Ratatouille, but I called him the rat's name, and I said I really fancied Remy or whatever his name was, and you were like, but that's the rat. And I thought it would just be overkill to do something from Ratatouille once again. It would just be like really hammering at home. And my last honourable mention, I think, would be the Cubano sandwich from the Chef movie.
Yeah.
But again, really meaty.
Yeah.
It's like pastrami or something, or I can't remember. It looks great, though.
Yeah, it's, yes. I feel like that's one of the reasons, there's not many reasons I would go to Florida, but I feel like, I mean, obviously I'm sure they're not, it's nice in Cuba as well, but in Florida they have all that great Cuban food and those sandwiches.
Oh, it looks so good. Yeah.
I love a sandwich.
Yeah.
There is some good food in there. I was considering a few things. You know, obviously, I've already made the Ted Lasso biscuits and talked about them on the pod. Mm-hmm. So go back and listen to, I can't remember what episode it was, but that was very fun.
Yeah.
And I think that there's even more recipes out there. Interestingly, I was listening to Off Menu, obviously, recently, and Sam in Ted Lasso was saying that those biscuits that, I know you haven't seen it, but anybody else that has watched it, like, obviously the whole thing is Ted brings them to Rebecca every day, like has like a, his, and she loves them. But the guy that plays Sam was saying that the actual biscuits they have on set are like these disgusting, like, you know, because she's eating them so much, they can't be like sugary or whatever, she would just end up like, I think of it, he was saying that in the beginning they were real,
right?
But she was like putting on weight or whatever, and she was like getting like annoyed about it because she's just having to redo that scene so many times. She's like eating biscuits, so they're like these horrible like cardboard type, you know, non-nutritional things.
Or
so,
something.
Yeah,
is she that so Hannah lady?
Yes.
What a woman!
What a babe!
What a babe. Sorry, she was doing something at Eurovision this year. Was she hosting it?
Yes, she was hosting it. She obviously speaks fluent French because, you know.
She's a dream, anyway.
She is a dream.
Just another dream woman. Hannah in our lives, really? Did we need another one?
Yes. Also tall, isn't she?
Yeah, she's quite tall, isn't
tall
she?
Tall Hannahs. We love them. I've also made, for the pod, but previous to my life as a podcaster, I've made the Julie and Julia beef bourguignon.
Yes.
Which is the Julia Child's beef bourguignon.
Yeah.
Which I made for the pod in the Julia Child episode, which is great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it comes up a lot when you like talking about food in movies, but that would recommend making it, but it's a labor of love and I'm probably not going to do it in the middle of the summer.
Well, you just complained about the weather.
Well, yeah. My saddest, like, the thing that I was quite sad about when I was thinking about, not sad, but like, you know, disappointed in myself as someone who, do you know I lived in Japan?
No. What? Tell me more.
Well, I did. I lived in Japan. I speak Japanese. But I'm not really into any of the, like, Studio Ghibli movies.
Is
like,
it Ghibli? Is that how you say it? Ghibli. I've been saying it wrong for years.
What have you been saying?
Ghibli.
Ghibli.
Is that wrong?
Yeah, I think in Japanese it's pronounced Jiburi. But I'm not into any of them, and they have amazing looking food in,
yeah,
like when you see, like, you know, their ramens and eggs and like all that stuff,
yeah.
But I've never really I think I've seen Howl's Moving Castle. I've never seen Totoro, so sorry to people.
Did I tell you I went to that museum in Tokyo? Right, it's just outside.
Did you?
Tokyo. I've never watched a movie of Studio Ghibli, but it was one of the best things I did when I was in Japan.
Yeah.
It was incredibly magical. It's like a bit out of Tokyo, but it's so, so fun.
But I bet it's amazing.
Oh,
yeah,
just
they're so good at shit like that. The Japanese, like, I bet.
What are we doing?
You know, shout out to Disneyland and Disney Sea in Tokyo, which are amazing as well, like better than any other Disney you'd go to in the world.
Yeah. So what did you make? Well, have you got also your mentions? No.
Last honorable mention for the Disney short Bao.
Yes. Okay.
That I love, obviously,
yeah, obviously,
because I love dumplings, and it's about, a dumpling that comes to life.
Oh.
And it's like it's a metaphor for like parenthood and stuff. But I've watched it 1,000 times in about the past month because my son is obsessed with it. He's obsessed with it. We watched it like 4 times this morning. Like
How short is it?
Like, it's like 7 minutes.
And can he say bow?
He can't say bow. He calls it baby.
Oh.
Baby. Watch baby again. Because it's like the whole, yeah, like she bites into this bao that she's made, the mom, and it turns into like a baby.
Oh.
It's unsettling. But Marcus loves it, and I just feel like I have to shout. Because those Disney shorts are great. If you have kids and you want to distract them for a minute, they're brilliant.
Oh. Are they on like Disney Plus or something?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Of which your account I'm signed into.
Yeah. I know. I'm surprised nothing from the bear has come up from either of us. But I'm not all the way through it yet. But I know that you're further than me using my Disney account. You're welcome.
Yes, thank you. As is my family. Yeah, let's hope Disney Plus's corporate team aren't listening. Yes, the bear. I know we're going to... I haven't gotten far enough, but yeah, did we talk about that boursin omelette that's doing the rounds, and like she's perfecting this like risotto recipe, which I think we're probably like,
yeah, and there's like a savory cannoli that they do at some point in that second season, I think, that I saw has gone, you know, not viral isn't the word, but you know what I mean, that's been talked about.
Yeah, I love the pastry chef in The Bear. He's great.
Yes, he's, what a babe.
Yeah, literally, just yeah. Anyway, sorry.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Let's talk about what you made.
Let's talk about what I made. So, only made one thing in the end.
That's absolutely fine. We apparently don't need to make things to find things to talk about. So.
Yes, clearly. Also on Disney, I did think about... Sorry, just to talk... You know, for a lot... Until I settled on what I made,
yes.
I was going to make something from Lilo and Stitch.
Yeah.
Oh. Because I love it. And it's like Hawaiian-y, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. Obviously, it's Hawaiian-y, but it's got, like, it's very, like, culturally Hawaiian.
Yeah.
And some of the food in that. And, like, it's very good. And shout out to my friends Emma and Carly, who I've watched Lilo and Stitch with a couple of times. And we just cried the whole way through because we've been hungover or whatever and just, like, cried. Oh. I'm just a crier.
I used to call my ex-boyfriend Stitch. He kind of looked like him.
Was he blue? Did he have four arms?
Yes and yes.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Big, really big ears.
Yeah. We used to get some stares, but I regret nothing.
I mean, frankly, Lilo felt the same. She just wanted Stitch to be accepted. So what did I make? Yeah. Well, I chose to make what I thought was the standout dish, and also a very Victoria dish from the Oscar-winning movie Parasite.
Oh my god, what did you make?
Have you seen it?
Yeah, but I can't remember the food.
So there's a scene not far from the end where the family are coming home because it's been raining on their camping trip.
Yes.
And the mom calls and she says, we've had to cancel our trip. His favorite food in the world is this thing that they translate it as ramdon.
Yes.
And you can put some steak in it.
Right.
Right. And she's like, she doesn't know what that is. And so she's like freaking out and trying to make, and basically it's this really tense scene where the family are coming home and the family that are in the house and the mom is having to make this ramdon thing.
Right.
So I made that.
Oh my God, that's so
fun. I made the
fun.
Ramdon.
Did you, was it easy to like find a recipe or what?
Yeah. So what it is it's this thing that Koreans eat sometimes called, hold on, japaguri.
Okay.
Right, and it's a mixture of two packet noodles.
Right,
one called chapaghetti, which is, you might have seen it. It's like a gold pack, and it's like it's both Korean. So chapaghetti is like a black bean and pork instant noodle thing.
Right,
and then neoguri is where the name comes from. Chapaguri,
okay,
is like a spicy seafood udon.
Right.
And it's literally just, you mix them together.
Okay, cool.
And then in Parasite, the mom is like, oh, we've got some beef in the fridge, put that in it, right? And that's like, obviously that's the point. If you haven't seen the movie Parasite, the whole point of it is like juxtaposition between rich people and poor people.
Yeah.
And
it's great, watch it.
It's really good. It's in Korean, but the subtitles are great. But this is what I learned when I was looking it up, is that the translator called it ramdon, like ramen and udon,
right?
Which is that's just come into the vernacular, now.
Oh.
Because the translator invented that because to try and help, I guess, the English speakers understand that what this thing was.
Okay.
Anyway, and so, and then in the translation, it says, oh, there's some sirloin in the fridge, put that on it.
Right.
But then I also learned that in the Korean, she says, oh, there's this beef, which is actually basically like Korean Wagyu, which is like super, super expensive.
Right.
And, you know, more expensive than Japanese Wagyu, like per pound, whatever. So I didn't get that, obviously, but I did get some sirloin because that's what's in the English translation.
Nice.
But yeah, it was so good. I looked up different, you know, recipes for it. Mm. But essentially, you just put both noodle discs into boil.
Yeah.
I thought they were very similar, like noodle, you know, even though the Neogoodi says it's like a udon.
Yeah.
And the chapaghetti more like a ramen. The noodles were very similar, okay. Like kind of thick wheat noodles. So that's fine.
Yeah.
So you boil those up in quite a lot of water. And then you take a lot of the water out because it's not supposed to be like a wet ramen.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
more like a dry. And then you put the little, you know, the little vegetable sachets in from both.
Okay.
And from both packs, and you add all of the chapaghetti, which is the black bean one,
right.
soup sauce in.
Okay, nice.
And then just half of the Neogoodi, which is the seafoody one, because that's the spicy one.
Right.
So it's adding like a spicy one. And you let it kind of simmer basically until all the water goes away.
Yeah.
And then the chapaghetti comes with like an oil.
Ooh.
Packet as well, like a little
chili.
And so you just put that. No, it's just a vegetable oil, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, that I've eaten the chapaghetti on its own before, mm. like from that packet. I love packet noodles, by the way.
Okay.
Everyone. I mean, not super noodles. Like, miss me with that. But go to an Asian supermarket and buy like just anything that tastes your fancy.
Yeah.
But the Koreans specifically are very good at this.
Yeah. There's not enough Asian supermarkets near me, I don't think. Sad.
They're just I've recently introduced to a very good one by my friend Emma at Emma and Simon's wedding. Shout out to Emma and Simon who got married. They had these they'd put these boxes on boxes of these like Mama, that's the brand, Tom Yum noodle ones.
Mm.
And they were so good. Anyway, so you mix them, then half of that, and then just wait for it to go. And then in the meantime, you kind of cut your steak into squares because that's how it looks in the movie.
Right.
And you just pan fry it in some oil. I saw a recipe online to like, you know, put a little bit of mirin, a little bit of sesame oil on them,
nice.
Some salt and pepper. And I was like, yeah, fuck it, I'll do that. And then you just mix it all together and eat it.
That sounds great.
And it's good. It is really good. Like I said, I've eaten the chapaghetti before.
Yeah.
It's too sweet for me. Like, it's quite a sweet, like, black beany paste.
Yeah.
And I want, like, a kick of something
yes.
in my noodles. So adding that, like, spicy seafoody one, like, gives it that, pretty much what you would need. And the steak adds absolutely nothing. It's just decadent and nice. Like, it's nice.
Yeah.
It's delicious. Yeah. I bought the fanciest one that I felt I could afford. And it was nice. And I wouldn't do it again with the steak.
Just on its
own. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I maybe would eat those two together again.
Yeah.
I maybe would add more of the spicy sauce in because I like that.
Yeah, you kind of need that kick, don't you, with noodles a lot of the time.
But it was very fun. I did some like spring onions on top, but you could obviously pimp it however you want to. But it was fun and delicious, and I felt like a rich Korean person.
Which is your aim in life, right?
Well, frankly, it is, yeah.
Yeah.
So I've always said my second husband will be Korean.
Yeah.
I think. So,
bye, Stephen. It's nice knowing
Congratulations
you.
Congratulations to
Victoria.
Victoria Hyungmin or someone.
Kim Jong-un. He's rich. Oh, God.
He is rich. I'm not sure he's the Korean that I would choose.
What about one of those young men from that band? You know the one.
Yeah, all day. BTS.
BTS. I'm sold. What about one of those young men?
Ronan Keating.
Good choice.
Yeah, it was really fun, and that movie is so good, and it was nice to like relive it, and that specific scene is very like tense and
yes.
I just love packet noodles. What can I say?
I thought if you were going to say Korean cinema.
I also love Korean cinema. I've seen a couple of movies. What's that other one I saw that was Korean? But anyway, long time ago.
Did it have one of the young men from BTS?
No, I don't think it did.
God damn. Maybe you should do a little series on like Instagram or on our website where you take photos of your favourite packet noodles from the Asian store so that people know which ones are good.
I would be more than happy to do that for everyone.
Yeah, public service.
I know that those, like, those ones, those Baldak, they're called, ones are like, they've blown up on TikTok. They have a carbonara one. Oh. And I keep seeing them in the Asian supermarket, and that you can buy a pack of five. And because they're like famous on TikTok, it's like £16 for five packs of noodles.
Come on.
You can do better than that, guys.
You can.
Promise you, just because it's good on TikTok, it doesn't mean it's the best. But maybe I will do that, Hannah. And I'll tell you about my little hacks for noodles.
I thought you said little hats.
little noodle hats.
You wear a tiny little hat every time you make noodles.
I do. My Shin Ramen hat.
Yeah, I'm here for the Victoria noodle email or something. Yeah, this sounds great.
Oh my God, that does sound great. Anyway, what did you make?
I'm starting to feel a very basic bitch with my choices now, Vic. That was a really good one. I did two very...
I mixed two packet noodles together, honestly.
Yeah, but like, you know, in terms of like the food, and the weight of the food and the scene, and it's a good choice of film. I made two things, but because they were so easy, that's why I made two and I had the guilt. Okay. Catholicism really fucks you up, I'll tell you that much.
It does.
And
this is your food from The Exorcist.
Yeah, you know when she pukes, what she had eaten before that was... Sorry, that's bleak. Both movies we have mentioned already, by the way, that I made this food from. So the first one is...
I really forgot to talk then when you were like, you were telling me, you did two things that I just reacted to like facially. And I realized, oh no, people can't see this. I did like a little shocked face when you said we talked about them. Okay, so the first
I'll
one
edit
is...
it now. Sound. Some tense music perhaps. The first one I did was from the movie Chef with John Favreau, whatever his name is. And it's the pasta that he makes for Scarlett Johansson. Which is when he's like, it's like a sexy scene. They're like seducing each other. But it's basically pasta, aolio,
yes.
Or whatever it's called. So
yes,
just like garlic and oil. And I had never made it before, actually. And there's loads of recipes. There is a recipe. There's an official website for Chef anyway, because he went on to do like a Netflix show and stuff, didn't he, off the back of that about like,
yes, and it's brilliant.
Yeah, it's so good.
It's so good.
He's a very likable man. Also, you know, was in Friends as Pete, if anyone remembers.
Yes, levels to your choice.
Layers. The pasta aglio e olio is so nice, and it's so cheap and quick. Because, well, it's not cheap because there is Parmesan in there. And that's probably the most expensive. Like olive oil isn't cheap, right? Yeah. And you use quite a lot of it. But it is likely stuff that you have in your fridge already. But basically, you just like cook some spaghetti. I like dialed down the recipe because it was a pound of spaghetti. And I have no control when pasta is present. So I decided not to make it all. And yeah, you boil the spaghetti and you keep... some of the until it's like al dente, and you keep some of the pasta water, and in the meantime, in a separate pan, you heat up like quite a bit of olive oil. I think it's like a cup or something for the pound of spaghetti. Right. So I did less.
Jeez.
And it's like 12 garlic cloves or 6 garlic cloves. Anyway, huge amount, and you thin that really slicely. Okay.
You're with me? We're back to Catholicism here. Sin those garlics. keep the vampires away.
You slice that really thinly and you heat it up in the oil. So the oil takes on all that flavour from the garlic. And then you do that until the garlic is like golden brown. I was being so careful not to burn it because it's just the worst smell and taste ever, isn't it? But then when it's kind of golden, you add in like salt and pepper and some loads of fresh parsley, all chopped up. Ooh. I think, again, it's like half a cup. And then you put your spaghetti into the pan and like toss it all in the lovely flavoured oil with some of the pasta water, so it makes like a bit of a kind of silky sauce. And then you just grate some parmesan. I think off the heat you grate some parmesan on quite a lot. I did quite a lot. And I forgot red pepper flakes as well, but I used chili flakes. Ooh. That goes into the oil before the pasta goes in. And then so at the end you've got lemon zest and parmesan and lemon juice maybe. And it's just, I think like it's one of those things that probably everyone just, they know the core ingredients and then you just mess with the kind of proportions as much as
what
you want.
Like, yeah.
But it was so delicious. Like when she eats it in the scene, good. I watched it before we started recording. Like she's like lying there seductively, like watching him cook this for her. Obviously, like it's really attractive when someone cooks for you as well. It's the best thing ever. And then he hands her the bowl and then she eats it and her face is so good. Like she's just obviously really loves it. And it is delicious. It's a really good, like quick dinner. I really like that. I would probably make that again.
I love that.
Yeah. You literally like need no extra ingredients. It's all kind of store cupboard stuff.
Did you have anyone sitting there seductively waiting for it? Or
no, just Doug the dog.
Oh, just Doug.
Yeah. His seductive sit needs some work. Usually. I mean, his willy would be out in the breeze and like very present. But how seductive it is another matter. Maybe to other fellow canines, but not me.
Maybe the garlic is the reason for his farts.
Maybe. Oh God, they're putrid. And then the second thing I made was even simpler, I would say. Actually, they're both Italian dishes. Yeah, this is why you're cooler than me. The second thing I made was from Julie and Julia.
Ooh.
A great foodie film. We've obviously talked about Julia Child before. And it's the tomato bruschetta that she makes at the beginning when she's like wondering what to do with her life, or quite early on. She's wondering what to do with her life. She's bitching about her friend who started a blog, but she can't write. This friend can't write.
Right.
And she's just like, what do I want? Like, what would I write about? And they're like sitting, she's preparing this bruschetta and she like prepares it for her partner and they're eating it. It's so simple, but it's really delicious. And then that's when she lands on the idea to start like cooking her way through Julia Child's book and blog about it. And I've never made, I'm going to say bruschetta. I know that's not the right pronunciation, but look, I'm Irish, so it's never going to be right anyway. But it's, I've never made it before and it is really delicious. And I also think sometimes you get it in like an Italian restaurant as a bit of a like starter and it can be a bit shit. So yes. I wanted to see what it was like to make it at home.
But when it's good, it's fucking amazing, isn't
right?
it?
Like, when it's good.
Really, I mean, because it's tomatoes. I hate to be a broken record because it's tomatoes.
Yeah. And it's summer, so the tomatoes are good. But again, super quick. I use like ciabatta bread. This is Julia Child's recipe. It's ciabatta and then, or whatever, she says like any kind of rustic bread, I think, but not a baguette. And then you slice it up and you fry the bread in olive oil in the pan. So it's already great. Shape. Like could eat that on its own. And then you rub a garlic clove over the bread so that it's like takes on loads of the flavor. Isn't it amazing how much garlic flavor it takes on just by doing that? Like it just shows you how bloody strong it is. Basically, there was a lot of common ingredients in these two dishes, like garlic and oil. So, and then in a bowl, you like have some tomatoes. So she says like heirloom or whatever makes sense. I got these lovely like vine ones that were quite small and chopped them up. And you toss them in just olive oil.
These are the ones that you paid like £10 for three?
No, I did you buy.
Okay.
How many did I buy? Was it £4 for two at the farmer's market or something?
Oh, I mean, you have to in the summer.
Do you? I don't know.
Yes.
Were they good? Like such a twat doing that. I really did. It was two tiny tomatoes in a bag. They were grand. But yeah, God, what a dick. You can't give them back when they tell you in the farmer market. Anyway, yes, yeah, so no, these were just supermarket tomatoes. But yeah, you kind of toss them in olive oil and a good pinch of salt. And then you pile them onto your bread, the garlicky, oily bread. And then you put some basil on top. But it's just like, it's so much better than the sum of its parts. Like that frying the bread in the olive oil is the game changer, I think. And probably the kind of bread you have as well. But I had it for breakfast this morning, actually, because I'm a last minute gal. And it was just so good.
Yeah.
And that film has loads of good dishes. But they're all very niche.
It does. So is that...
So yeah, both super simple. But you know, maybe this is less about me being a major slacker and more about the beauty of simplicity of food.
That's it. God,
why can I speak English today? The beauty of simple food.
Because you're Irish and it's never going to be right.
You would.
Sorry, that was cruel.
So yeah, so we picked all films in the end.
We did. I tried for TV. Mm. And, you know, I've made the Ted Lasso ones before. There's... I don't know if anybody is or you have watched any of Yellow Jackets.
No, but I've heard it's great.
So, you know, if anybody's seen the second season of that, there's a funny, obviously, situation where they eat someone.
A human. So,
there's that. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to spoiler it, but it's very obvious once you start the show that that's going to happen at some point.
Right.
So... And I won't spoil it, but yeah, that's and also Hannah and I, this is a new thing I've learned about Hannah, and I guess maybe Hannah's learned about me, is that we love the OC. Like we are fucking hard stands for it.
I did not know where this was going, but the OC has crossed my mind about five times since we started recording this podcast.
But there's very little food in it.
Yeah, you'd have to go with something like from Seth's Chris McCurr.
Bagels.
Yeah, there's nothing really.
Interestingly, I just finished watching that show I was saying about called Fleischman is in Trouble.
Oh, yeah.
Also on Disney. And that has Adam Brody in it.
Oh.
And his name in that is also Seth. It's very disconcerting. Concerting.
Is it? Is he just being typecast? Whenever this is set, come up, they're like, Adam Brody on the phone, please.
Get him. Jewish guy. Good Seth. Get him.
Is he quite different to his OC character, though?
Yeah, he's very, like, cool, and he's...
Seth was cool.
I mean, he looks exactly the same. It just looks older, but he's, you know, like, he's this, like, bachelor.
Right.
And he is, like, a finance bro, etc.
Did you fancy Seth in the OC?
Yes.
Did you fancy Chandler in Friends?
Yes.
Interesting. Me too, obviously. I always like the nerdy kind of funny people.
Mm.
Very different now.
But, also...
It hasn't changed at all.
Also, Luke from the OC is now in Grey's Anatomy. As like
is Grey's Anatomy still going?
Hannah.
How many seasons?
I think it's just wrapped or 20. We're at 20, I think.
Who has the time? 21? Have you kept up with it this entire time?
Yeah, I've seen every episode.
So much misery, so much sadness.
Have you met me? I love misery and sadness.
this podcast could turn into the longest episode of all time as we just go through each TV show that we've ever watched.
I know, because we haven't even like touched on books either,
yeah,
right? Like,
I think that could be a separate thing.
Books kept coming up for me in this. I was like, oh, what about that in that book and that in that book?
Yeah,
but that's, they're not generally, they're not also TV shows.
No, I'm on books. I'm reading Atonement at the moment by Ian McEwan. it's good actually, but yeah, you know, you have a feeling that it's not going to end well. But they're all in this like big manor house on a hot day in the first half, and they're drinking this like chocolate cocktail that someone makes, and I've never had such just like a visceral reaction to reading a page of just being like, oh god, it sounds really cloying and horrible. Anyway, we should wrap up. We've been talking for some time now. If you enjoyed this, let us know.
This was very fun. I really enjoyed this.
Yeah. Maybe we should have a side. I mean, we say this all the time.
A side podcast about TV. Like, I've watched it since we started talking about it and we decided on this. I've watched a lot of that Binging with Babish YouTube channel.
Oh, yeah. Because
he does all the... God, he's good, man. And he's also thorough. Couldn't be me. I watched his one about the Ramdon, and he like he does it the you know the way I did it, and then he like makes his own ramen noodles, makes his own udon, and then makes his own sauces for it. And frankly,
yeah,
couldn't be me.
No, he has the time. Very busy.
And a schedule.
Hey, thank you for listening, and thank you, Lisa.
Thank you for listening
for your suggestion.
Yes. And let us know your favorite food. We've probably missed something really obvious, and we're sorry.
Yeah, we want to hear your favorite foodie scenes in movies or TV shows, and if you've ever made the dish, and if Mama's Little Bakery Illinois is listening, let us know what was in that cheesecake, please. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. We love you.
We love you. Bye.
Bye. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Cookbook Circle. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast and leave us a review, as it helps others to find us and enjoy us. You can see how the recipes from this episode turned out on our Instagram at Cookbook Circle, where you can also get in touch with us, let us know your thoughts, feedback, ideas for episodes, whatever you like. We really love to hear from all of you. So we'll see you next time. Bye. Bye.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend. Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.